near the right hash at the Ram 20-yard line. Sinagra with an empty set now is looking to throw to the right side to the end zone. That pass is caught for the touchdown. What a grab inside the pylon. Carl, what a diving catch, a toe-tap grab inside the pylon, and that's a Calgary touchdown.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in his province, growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Hi again, everybody. Well, this podcast isn't possible without our great sponsors like Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower, delivering homegrown certified durum, yellow peas, and chickpeas. Boys Next Door Window Cleaning. Check out their great website at theboysnextdoor.ca. SAS Selects Football, building the stars of tomorrow today. Get in the real estate game with three-time Grey Cup champ Paul Waldo by calling him at 306-502-5355. Pizza Hut's in Saskatchewan. Great food, man. Love the pizza. Love the breadsticks with the dipping sauce. Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn. For grain marketing, grain hauling, and crop insurance, get a hold of Corey at Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn. And by Mark Greshner Photography. Check out his great work at markgreshner.com. Now, before we get to my conversation with Rider legend Darian Durant, time for our audio clip of the week so far. Ian Poulter at last weekend's Travelers Championship gave us more than we bargained for, but at least he owned up to it. Well, that's what I call gripping it and ripping it. Let's go to the phone lines and say hi to our friend, Rider legend Darian Durant. We find him in Toronto. How are you today, Doubles?
Doing well. How's it going?
Good, man. Real good here. We've been living kind of in a bubble here. I think we have 100 or so active cases of COVID-19. We've had a handful of deaths, and I don't want to minimize any deaths, but certainly not as bad as around the rest of the world. I know you're in Toronto. How have you been dealing with COVID-19 with a young family there?
Well, I mean, it's a little more exposed here in this area. The cases were way up a couple months ago. But, one thing I can say about the people here in Toronto, they've been doing a great job of just quarantining when told to and staying away from certain areas. Now that the everything is opening up slowly, the cases are way down. So, I just have to, take my hat off to the people here just for sitting down and, letting this thing pass. So it's been good as of late.
As an American, do you shake your head about what a tire fire your country's turned into down there right now with everything going on?
Oh, man, it's just unfortunate. Everything that's going on, it's sad that we're at that place as a country. And, it's one of the main reasons why I appreciate being in Canada. It's so much diversity here. People accept you for who you are, and it's just unfortunate we still face racism issues down in the States.
Hey, talk to me, Darian, because I got you on the phone to celebrate the 10th anniversary of one of the best games ever played in Ryderville in the regular season, a 54-51 game over Montreal. But before I get to that, like, what did Canada Day and living here in Saskatchewan and Canada mean to you?
It's just amazing. It's amazing, especially being in Saskatchewan, a community-owned team, everyone in that province. They love the Riders. So just the environment every single Canada Day was just amazing. And, the league did a great job of making sure we had, a marquee matchup every year, and just the excitement around it. Canada is amazing, and that's why I'm still here. The people, everything about it is just amazing.
So, Darian, I took a couple of years off broadcasting Rider games, and that July 1st, 2010, I was helping my brother move into his house in Okotoks, and we had gotten some chicken to watch the game, and I got sick, and I had to spend most of the game in the bathroom getting updates on the greatest Rider football game in the regular season, maybe ever. Was that the best regular season game you played in July 1st, 2010 against the Alouettes?
By far. First and foremost, you have to look at the situation going into the game with the Grey Cup the previous year and how that ended. We all know how that one ended.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted redemption. We wanted to show that we should have been champions, and we had a perfect opportunity. And, to start off as sluggish as we did, we didn't come out with the energy that I thought we had. But The way we finished that game, the way we just exploded in the second half, it was just amazing.
Yeah, so I remember, we know 2009, the 13th man. How do you guys play the first game of the regular season there, like at home July 1st, and get another 13th man penalty?
That's what's so funny about it. I mean, you could just hear the wind come out of the crowd, you know, when that flag was thrown. And it was just, you just say to yourself, how could this happen 2 years in a row? Luckily for us, in 2010 in that regular season opener, you know, it didn't cost us the game. But just the fact of it happening 2 years in a row against the same team, two games in a row, basically, it's just crazy.
Hey, so the other thing I remember about that game, that catch by S.J. Green in the back of the end zone, the one-handed grab, you're on the sidelines watching that happen, and you're like, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah, you just had that feeling like, here we go again. You hate to say that as an athlete, but, you know, when plays like that happen, and S.J. is probably the only guy that I know that could make a catch like that, and for that to happen again, I'm not sure if that was in overtime or if it was in the fourth quarter, but you just think to yourself, wow, here we go again.
And one of the greatest of all time and one of the greatest riders of all time, Darian Durant, joining us for a couple of more seconds here. So doubles from 2007 to like 2013, what's the best team you played on as a rider? I know you were kind of a bit player in 2007, but let's go from 2009 when you were the starter then to 2013. What was the best team you played on?
I think you have to go with 2013. I think what Brendan and Coach Chamberlain did in bringing in the guys that they did, from G. Roy to Dwight Anderson, Ricky Foley, I don't want to leave anyone out. But the hunger we had, you know, coming out of the 2012 season, the way it ended in Calgary, coming into 13, Brendan and Corey said to themselves, you know what, we're going to load up. Alex Hall, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He was a great player at the time as well. So that team of guys that we put together that year, it was just amazing. We had a great mix of veteran leadership and young guys, and that was by far the best team I've played on.
Okay, we're going to miss football on Canada Day here, but my last question to you, Darian Durant, are you worried about the future of this league and that there might not be a league?
I wouldn't take it that far. You know, I think that, there'll be some things that may change, but I don't see, in my opinion, you know, besides hockey, of course, but football is such a huge, huge sport here in Canada. I don't see the league folding at all. Maybe there may be some financial hardships, but I don't see the league going down. It means too much to the fans, especially the fans in Saskatchewan, you know, Manitoba, it's Alberta as well. You know, it's huge there. So I don't see it all folding, but there may be a couple hardships here and there, but I see the league being able to overcome these things.
We got to keep the league afloat so we can get that Darian Durant big-time retirement ceremony and get him into the Ryder Plaza of Honor. Hey, doubles.
Yeah, it's coming, man. I'm looking forward to it. One day, I think not just me, but, you know, Dress and Chick and all of us will definitely come back and do it the right way.
All right, brother. Love you. Stay safe, okay?
All right. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you having me.
Well, Growing the Game with Ballsy moves right along. Check this out. A suspected drunk driver smashed into a gas station in Seebeck, Washington last Sunday morning. Then he drove away from the scene. He abandoned his SUV and ran off into the woods where he was chased down by a police dog. The street he stopped on? Sesame Street. And as you know, Growing the Game with Ballsy is everywhere. Here's the audio.
My way, I'm making my getaway. Now the troopers have caught up with me. Can you keep that dog away as I hide on Sesame Street? Got a DUI on Sesame Street.
That boy, don't bite me there. Good boy.
All right, we're here with Mike Pinball Clemens. I guess, first off, Mike, the obvious question, how are you making it through this pandemic, my friend?
Well, you know, I want to say, number one, the most important thing is trying to look after those who are on the front lines, those who are most vulnerable, right? And so for us, right, family's good, everybody's good, but we don't want to make light of those who are struggling in this time. But it has been some really great family time. It's odd because, I mean, you're working, like I was shooting videos after 12 last night just for a couple of little different things. And so the days are full. The days are long. But, you know, fortunately, we're in an area where an era where we can still communicate, and a lot of it can be visual still. And so it's been a challenging time, but we've made the best of it, and there's some good things that have come out of it, right? And one of those is just that extended family time. I really have enjoyed being this close to my family for such a long period of time. I don't know if it's ever happened in my life.
Yeah, no kidding. It's a different world for everybody, and you know, that is one of the silver linings. Hey, Mike, what brought you back to the Argos? You were a coach, you were a president, you've always kind of been an ambassador, even a distant face of the team, but you're back with the team in the GM role. What brought you back again?
I think a couple of things. I stopped coaching when my oldest daughter started high school, because it was the last 4 years all three girls would be home together. And then the next year I was still with the team a bit, and then I kind of, you know, went away for the most part, other than kind of being an ambassador and around the team. And now my youngest daughter is graduating high school this year, and so that's a part of it. The other big part is they just asked me, right? They asked me a question about coming back, very, very excited to be a part of the team. It has had such an impact on my life. The team, the country, the game has had such a great impact on my life and given me a chance to, you know, one of the biggest things it's given me is a chance to serve and give back in a way that I would have never thought possible as a kid growing up.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Mike, how much did coming in during the 2019 campaign help you get started for 2020?
You know, that was really significant, right? Getting yourself a chance to kind of be real. Jim Pop is a really good friend, and so I didn't want this position, right? And I turned it down two or three times before I actually took it. I really value him as a man, a friend, and as a professional, so that part, you know, even good things can be difficult, and so I did turn down the job a few times before I said yes, but you know, that process of coming in, you know, when you come in at the end of the season and you're able to see some things, to assess some things live, which is a lot easier. You're able to actually connect with some of the players, and so that was a real advantage in getting a head start on the 2020 season. put in quotations, right?
No kidding. It could be a little longer. Hey, pinball. Do you find out more about people in adverse conditions when they're losing as opposed to winning? And that's maybe a good thing coming in 2019 when you guys only had four wins. You see who's competing, who's trying hard regardless of the score.
Sometimes you want to know less.
Yeah.
In other words, we would have rather won. And take other methods by which to learn people and to know who they are. You know, that a lot of that is really leadership, though, and really cultivating the kind of leadership around that. Because we say that this guy is this way, but I've seen guys who said, you know, people say this guy is this way, and then when you get him on your team, right?
Yeah.
He's really good at, you know, doing the things that you ask him to do, and I've seen several guys exceed expectations based on that. So there is some truth to that, absolutely. But by and large, right? You know, I think leadership is a big determinant of that. People who can find out how to get the most out of people, and we believe that we have a coaching staff that's able to do just that.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, what do you see in Ryan Dinwiddie you like?
Oh, my goodness. What don't I see in him that I like? It's just incredible. You know, I say my favorite people are people that when you meet them the first time, right, you get something from them. But every time as you get to know them more, they're layered, right? You just kind of peel. Wow, I didn't know you knew that. Obviously a quarterback, had some success in Montreal and then went to an even more successful situation in Calgary, has been tutored really by the best in Canadian football in this present era, right? When you look at Huffnagel, Dickinson, that's the cream of the crop. They've been very consistent in their play as well. He actually coached one, probably the player with the most flair in our league. Well, between he and Vernon Adams, but Bo Levi, so that he had some of those traditional things. What you didn't know is the part about his leadership. Can he command a room? And he has one of the little subtle things that I've noticed about him is that he has this ability to be casual, right? And 5 minutes later, be assertive and get back to business, right? And everybody can't do that. Everybody can't sort of be one of the guys and then assert themselves, without being, offensive. It's just the next step, right? Okay, all right, time to move on. Let's go. The thing that caught me first was, when we were talking to him and he was talking about getting, I asked him the question, I should say, who's your other teams? Like who's your favorite basketball team? Like who's your favorite teams? And he says, I really don't have a favorite, what's your other favorite? He says, I just watch football. I was like, yes.
Yeah. Committed guy. Committed guy.
As a friend, I wanted to say, hey, get a life, right?
Yeah,
we got to get. But as my head coach, absolutely, this is awesome. Yes. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, pinball, in your day when I was watching, it was you, the Rocket, Gizmo, three guys that really excited the fans. When you watch CFL football today, who excites you? Who's that pinball, that Rocket, that Gizmo where you pass by a TV and you got to watch what this guy's doing? Is there a player that jumps off the map at you or a couple of guys?
Well, I just and two of them, Lynn Vernon Adams, right? You got to think about those two guys. Mm-hmm. Speedy B, though, is another guy, and they've got a little running back in Winnipeg that I really love too. Yes, that Andrew Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so I just love to see him play. And so, there are so many guys. There, of course, our league is so exciting. We have so many dynamic guys, and I made the choice not to choose any of our guys.
That's good.
Trying to be fair that way.
That's right.
But I should have chose a writer. I fell short there. So they've got a wonderful receiver, Shaq, that I love to see this guy.
Yeah.
He's really special, and so many. I mean, your team is loaded.
It was poised
and defensively.
We were poised to do something this year, no doubt about it. It was going to be. Yeah, hopefully we could still get to that. That leads me to my next question: how worried are you about the future of this league? Because this league, one of the charms of this league is it's always got its foot solid on the ground and the other one hanging off the edge of the cliff. So what are you worried about as it relates to this league? Are you worried about the future of this league?
I tend not to worry about this. I don't know if worry is effective at all. I do believe that we have leaders have ownerships. You know, I believe that the strength of the league, as everyone knows, is really the West, right? And in Saskatchewan and in Manitoba, right? I think there'll always be football. I think the same in Alberta. So that's four of the teams. That's almost halfway. I believe we have strong leadership here in Toronto as well as Hamilton. And Ottawa may have been the most successful fiscally of any of us, and so there's some, you know, there's some real solid that doesn't mean, right, that we you know aren't going through a very difficult time, a very challenging time, right? But I also believe, I have no choice but to believe,
yeah,
right, that we will continue to work hard, we will continue to persist, and that our game, I believe, you know, this is an era where entertainment specifically is at our avail 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? So we have these little things in our hands and we can look up just about anything that we want. We can see things that seem almost to be live, and many times they are live, and whether it be an Instagram live that's going on that's mm-hmm. a musician or a player, or it's just so much happening and so much going on, a big thing for us is just that continuing to have those guys that will get you out of your feet, that will excite you, because we do need right across the league to have people in the stands and have those stands full. And today that's becoming more difficult because there's so much going on. There are so many distractions, if you will. You know, some people say distractions. We're consistently being entertained. Is the order of the day, and so getting people in the seats on a regular basis, I think, is our number one thing. Close behind it is those or even right alongside of it is those great partners that come alongside, yeah, of us, the great corporate partners. And so I think a focus in that area will really serve us well.
Hey, Mike, I talked to Warren Moon. He said he loved coming to Canada because he was just a quarterback. He wasn't a black quarterback. If he threw an interception, he was just a quarterback that threw an interception, not a black quarterback that threw an interception. We know racism is in the forefront, as it should be here, Black Lives Matter and everything going on like that. What was racism like for you when you played in the CFL? Was there any racism? What was that like, being a black guy coming to Canada to play here?
Yeah, so that question, was there any racism, alludes to the fact of the day that, you know, where people are trying to consistently get across, is that racism is embedded in our society, right? And so there is an absolute there, but the reason, one of the reasons I remained here is because of the heart of the people here. It's not nearly as pervasive as it is in the U.S. and people do see you differently. That doesn't mean everybody does, right?
Right.
But people do see you, and I would often say that there's a different starting point, and people ask, well, what do you mean by that? And I says, well, if at the time I went to this 89 is when I came up, so early 90s is when we're having these conversations. I said, if I go to a bank in Florida, where I'm from, there's a good chance that they're going to assume that I'm incompetent because of my skin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to prove my competence. On the other hand, in Toronto, if I go to a bank, right, it's going to be the opposite way around. They're going to assume that I'm competent, and I have to prove my incompetence, which I'm more than capable of doing, by the way, right? But there is that official there's a different starting point, right? So it can't, you know, can I stand up and say, you know, that racism did not exist? I cannot stand on, you know, I can't, yeah, but I can say that there was a distinctly different starting point. And I can also say it was a big decision why I decided to live here year round and now am a Canadian citizen, because I grew up on the cusp of integration, or desegregation. And my mom went to an all segregated high school, and I didn't, right? But mm-hmm. but my mom did finish at school at an all segregated high school. So you can imagine when I went through, there was still a lot of those tensions. I was born the same year desegregation happened, right? And
right.
So they're deeply rooted, and growing up in the South as well, right? I know many people don't think of things as being as deep and entrenched in Florida as in other Southern states. But when you're native Floridian and you don't necessarily live in the more tourist areas, it does, you know, Florida is a whole lot like, it is a lot more like Georgia when you live there, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's much more similar in many of those traditional ways, which aren't all bad, but many of those things are challenging, especially to the Black experience.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, did you I call you Coach because that's what I remember
yes,
you as,
sir.
Because I
yes,
because I watched that 2004 Grey Cup. And you became the first Black coach to appear and win a Grey Cup game. And I remember the speech, okay, like it was yesterday. Did you appreciate at the time what you were doing? You know, that, you know, we're talking now Black Lives Matter, and you said race has always been, you know, it's always a part of our life. It's probably always going to be a part of our life, even though we'd like to see it gone, it's going to be around. But did you realize the and appreciate the importance of what was going on when you were doing it?
No, and much like Warren Moon said, right? Because we don't want to celebrate it in a way that we've arrived and we're here, right? But nobody here made a big deal about it, right? And you know, it wasn't. We were just doing what we do. I was the coach of the team, and being the first head coach, makes it sound lofty. But I couldn't have done it without the rest of my guys, right? And so, first of all, I think being the first guy is overstated, because in football, it's probably the most integrated game in terms of the number of people that you have to have around you to be successful, not only coaching but players and so on. So that award, that designation goes to every one of the guys on that team, and even guys who started the team but didn't finish the year with us that played roles of some sort. So the importance of it as a person, as an individual, I think is less significant. The notion of it being the first is probably more disappointing than rewarding.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Obviously you wish that it would have happened earlier, right?
No kidding. Mm-hmm. I found this league to be pretty progressive, though, in terms of we had the first ever Black commissioner in Jeffrey Orridge. We had the first ever Black general manager and coach combination in Danny Barrett and Roy Shivers. You win as the coach, as I just mentioned. So Canada has been a little bit, the CFL has been a little bit on the forefront with regards to, integrating regardless of your color and just putting you in a position to do something. So I like that aspect of it. Hey, Mike, last question for you. What piece of advice would this Pinball Clemens give the young guy just coming to the Canadian Football League? Anything you've learned over your time that you're wiser to now that you weren't wise to back then?
Most of the things that they are going to go through, I would really, my biggest thing would be to relish the process, right? Because most of the things that I've discovered were wonderful, not challenges. right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, it would be more of embracing the process. And I would want to alert him to those things. I would want to allow those things to unfold for him like they did for me, right? So I don't want to sort of ruin the you know, the wonderful surprise there is, right? I would just say embrace this time, right? It would be this will potentially be one of the most rewarding times of your life, right? And so for me, it's about being open, expressing, embracing, because I just don't have ills to warn them about, you know, I would just say embrace it and make the most of it, right?
Hey, Mike, thanks for this. I appreciate it. It's nice to have you back in the league. I know you've always been around the league, but it's nice to put a face to a title once again. So thanks for this. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael. Really appreciate you, okay?
Take care.
All right, you as well, my friend. Bye for now.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.